You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hello, everybody. My name is Daryl, and welcome back to another high-revving, jam-packed, rip-roaring episode of The Breadline Show, brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 a.m. on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au. And if you're having problems with your job provider, get onto our website at auwu.org.au, and there you will find information that hopefully will be of some help to you. And from all those who donated to the show last week, a very big thank you. Thanks to you, our station will run for another 12 months. I might just read out some names that did donate last week. We have Red Gum, Ian McIntyre, Karina Ado, Joseph Malignaggi, Caitlin Blythe, Joe McKay, Gabrielle Lemmers, Liz, and Pillar Aguilera. Well, that was a big thank you to you. And don't forget, you can still donate. The month isn't over yet. So if you've got a big tax bill coming and you need to get rid of some cash, give it to us. So anyway, thanks to you, we are now set up for another 12 months. So we don't have to set up out in the street, because you can imagine the quality of the broadcasting if we had to set up out there. All right. Okay. And this from The Guardian from last week, actually. Kelly's job seeker payments were cut off during a hospital stay for psychosis, and it's far from an isolated case. Kelly was sitting up in her hospital bed. Through the haze of heavy medication, she was trying to tell the woman at the end of the phone line, an officer at Centrelink, what had happened. On the 26th of March, the 43-year-old had started experiencing psychosis, and 2 weeks later, on the 8th of April, she was admitted to Macquarie Hospital in New South Wales. "I was completely out of my mind," Kelly says. "When I had the psychosis, I thought I was being poisoned and people were watching me. I couldn't even tell you my name. I didn't think my name was my name. I was completely just in another world," unquote. While Kelly was unwell, her sole source of income, her job seeker payment, was suspended because she had missed a face-to-face appointment with her provider, Carac. Been in hospital, you'd think that'd be a reasonable excuse, wouldn't you? Anyway, I go on. In March, Services Australia paused most of the payment cancellations because of concerns the IT system might not have been operating lawfully. But every month, payments of tens of thousands of recipients are still being suspended, government data shows. Between January and April this year, there were 157,680 payment suspensions. Now, I can't imagine that many people doing the wrong thing. Just how many people were lawful, I wonder? I once had my payment suspended for attending a job interview. And if you remember Martha Clark, we interviewed June last year, had her payment suspended for not attending an appointment that a job provider failed to notify her about. And we at the Australian Unemployed Workers Union get a lot of complaints like that. In February, the highest month for suspensions this year, for every minute, more than one recipient had their payments paused. Advocates allege the suspensions may be unlawful and have called for the federal government to overhaul the mutual obligations framework, where job seekers are penalised if they don't fulfil tasks such as attending meetings and submitting job applications. In Kelly's case, her hospital doctors wrote 4 medical certificates, but all of them were rejected. Kelly says Centrelink told her that psychosis wasn't a diagnosis but rather a medical symptom and as such did not count. Well, of course you can still work while you're busy hallucinating. Just ask Centrelink, they'll tell you. So imagine having to go to a job interview while you're going through all that. Not only would you not get the job, but I dare say they would be in a hurry to get you out of the building as well. Anyway, so she called her job coach. Job coach? Is that what they're calling their consultants now? Trying to describe what they do? If that is the case, I think comma'd that be more accurate. Anyway, so she called her job coach at Correct and was told to attend a face-to-face appointment to get her payments restored. Kelly's driving licence had been revoked while she was under the Mental Health Act, so the hospital social worker drove her to the provider's office. Isn't that marvellous? You're in hospital, recovering from a serious illness, and they still expect you to go to an appointment. And this is an appointment they could easily have done over the phone. You know, I can imagine sitting in your job provider's office with only 1 minute left to live. The first thing your consultant would do is shove a form under your nose to sign. And if you happen to drop dead before you sign it, the job provider would make two phone calls. The first one would be to Centrelink, telling them you refuse to sign a job plan. Then the second call would be for an ambulance. Because who wants a dead carcass lying around the place? Anyway, that's just my imagination running away. Let's read on. She says that in the meeting, her job coach suggested she look for 8 jobs a fortnight instead of 6, but her manager kept her plan as it was. They should have reduced it to 0 for at least a week. They can, at their own discretion, do that, you know. Kelly said, I was getting my cognitive ability back slowly at that point, but I still didn't have it totally together. I was stuttering, and I was still trying to focus. I signed the document I couldn't even read and left crying. That's clever of Karak. If someone isn't able to think straight, just get them to sign a form. Kelly spent almost another week in hospital. During the 2 weeks, she had no income and was unable to pay her rent. Kelly's is not an isolated case. Last year, Guardian Australia revealed a Victorian welfare recipient had his payments suspended while he was in hospital after surgery to remove a brain tumour. He was also homeless. Oh, talk about laying the boots in while you're down. You see, this is the kind of thing we have to put up with.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Last week, the Commonwealth Ombudsman confirmed that it had expanded the scope of its investigation into the legality surrounding payment cancellations, although it would not provide any more details. In March, the Secretary of the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations, Natalie James, said she had reasonable concerns that the system may not be operating in accordance with the law and extended the pause on cancellations. Anti-Poverty Centre spokesman Jay Coonan. Jay Coonan, he's right in the thick of things all the time. Good on you, mate. Says the question of legality also surrounded payment suspensions. We've heard of cases of people in ICU having their payment suspended, he says. We've heard of people who have been on their deathbed and their families have been working with social support in hospitals trying to stop this from happening. In April, there were 877,355 registered people on JobSeeker, with the majority, 625,140, receiving the full rate of $781.10 a fortnight. Jay Coonan says suspensions are stressful and could further throw people into poverty even when they aren't in hospital. He wants the government to pause the whole system. Well, he's absolutely right there. I've had my payments suspended a couple of times and I tell you, it's so stressful. It really takes a toll on you, believe me. The issue with mutual obligations is that these suspensions are allegedly happening unlawfully and the department doesn't really give a damn. In a response, department spokesman Hank Johnkin, gee, I used to see him on TV a lot, always saying, what's his famous saying? It's not if you get caught, but when. Or where was he when the robo debt was found to be unlawful? Anyway, in a response, department spokesman Hank Johnkin said Centrelink had apologised to Kelly and had worked with her to resolve this matter. We're committed to helping people access our payments and services whenever they need them, and we encourage anyone in a situation like this, so please contact us so our staff can help, he said. A spokesman for CARAC said it takes full responsibility for the error and sincerely regrets the impact it caused. When the customer lodged a formal complaint through CARAC's customer feedback channels, immediate steps were taken to rectify the situation. The spokesman said CARAC acknowledged the error and put a corrective action plan into place. The customer has been informed of the actions taken to resolve the matter. For Kelly, three more certificates from her own psychiatrist outlining her psychosis were sent in an attempt to get her mutual obligation paused while she recovered. The last one was finally accepted after she lodged a complaint. She is now recovering, but the episode and bureaucratic hurdles have left her exhausted and depressed. Oh, no, it would too. I know that myself. People seriously look down on Centrelink recipients, she says, but anyone can find themselves needing their help. She is absolutely right there. Someone coming into the system for the first time is in for a shock, and it can happen to anyone, anytime, and overnight. When someone can't work anymore due to serious illness and they apply for government assistance, the first thing they do is put you on JobSeeker. So if you ever need government help, then you'll know all about it.
If you're a renter with problems such as repairs, getting your bond back, negotiating a rent hike, or facing eviction, it helps to know your rights. For free information and advice on renting, you can visit Tenants Victoria at www.tenants.vic.org.au, Arnica Legal at www.anikalegal.com, or contact your nearest community legal centre. The government is planning to demolish and redevelop high-rise public housing towers in Melbourne. If you're living in a public housing tower and need free legal advice about your options, find your nearest community legal centre at www.fclc.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Okay, so next week we'll have Jessica joining us again. She's been to the Anti-Poverty Summit up in Brisbane. So we'll be looking forward to getting a full report from her. Now, I'd just like to thank everybody for donating as well, and for those who have yet to get your pledge in, don't forget to do that before the end of the year. You've only got a week or two, because you don't want to end up in that bigger tax bracket. Well, we've come to the end of the show already. My name is Daryl. You have been listening to Breadline, brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 AM on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.